Let's go, O's. Let's go, O's. They're going to catch him. They're going to catch him. They keep beating him. And it doesn't make any sense. But we're going to talk about it because it's Locked On Blue Jays. And it begins at this moment.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm Ben Schulman. He's Matt Bonaparte. You can catch us as part of the Locked On Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, Stitcher, YouTube, Locked On Jays, Twitter, at Locked On Jays, email, Locked On Blue Jays, Real, R-E-A-L, at gmail.com. The Blue Jays lost 7-4, which stinks. It was a terrible game that really at no point in time it looked like they would win. Except for maybe like right at the end when they had the tying run at the plate in the ninth. And the main reason that it looked like they would never win is that they were down 3-0 incredibly early, and then as soon as they scored their first run, they allowed two more because Yusei Kikuchi had a brutal start.
Yep, Ben, it's your favorite time of year where everybody pretends like having Yusei Kikuchi on the roster is okay. I'm pretty sick of it at this point.
I don't think anyone thinks it's okay anymore. I mean,
I'm glad because I've been on this train for a long time. Yusei Kikuchi, not good. He ain't good at the game that we play. So I don't know what the heck they're going to do with him. They're going to throw him out there every fifth day. But by doing so, you are objectively not putting yourself in the best position to win baseball games because that guy isn't good. Maybe gives you another start down the road, a little lightning in a bottle type action. But overall, I mean, this is just another bad season on a history of bad seasons with Kikuchi. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, he's not good. Like, this guy's never been good. I don't understand. I didn't understand it when they got him. I don't understand him now.
You aren't accounting that he is significantly worse this year than last year. Like, significantly. He's like over almost a run worse ERA-wise. That's a huge
yes. But his second half last year was absurdly bad.
I know, but if he pitched to a 4.3 ERA this year, it'd be a different story. Like he's pitching to a 5.1.
All right. I mean, I guess I didn't see the value in him when they picked him up. I still don't see it, and I don't know what the solution is for him. Like, you really have no choice. I mean, what are you going to do? He is like the last guy you can put in the bullpen, and you can't send him down. Like, it's just there's nothing you can do. That's the other thing. Yeah, you don't have another choice.
I mean, Mitch White would be the other choice, but, like, do we know how much better he is at this point? No.
But does his start turn into a bullpen game? Like, what is the –
Pat proposed yesterday, and maybe it's something they do, give him an opener so he doesn't face the middle of the order as much. Give him an opener to face 1, 2, 3, and then put him in for 4 or 5 innings. It's the only possibility to me because like, I get what you're saying when you said like they're objectively are worse with him, but they just don't have another option at this point.
Well, I agree with you. I understand that.
So I don't know if they're worse because the alternative is Mitch White starts every 5 days. And right now, that can't even happen because Ross Stripling's still hurt.
Yeah.
When Ross Stripling
the strip injury does really throw a wrench into things.
When Strip comes back, then you'd still have to start Mitch White every day. And you'd have to put Kikuchi in AAA or something.
Well, you can't. I mean, I guess my question is how far does the whole you can't put him in AAA because they pay him too much money thing go? Like, how bad does he have to be for that logic to break?
I don't even think it's that logic anymore. I think it's the logic of who's going to pitch instead of him, like legitimately. Like, don't
you know, Stripp is back, though. If Stripp is back, would you rather have him or Mitch White?
I just don't even know. Like, how much better?
I think I'd rather give Mitch White a shot. At this point, what's there to lose?
DFAing Kikuchi? I don't know.
Who's picking him up?
Someone might for nothing.
And if they do, all right, there. Your salary is now dealt with by somebody else. That's almost a blessing in disguise. No one's going to. Why would anybody take him?
But, yeah, I mean, I guess Mitch White, but, like, it's. I'm not totally convinced that you wouldn't even just be going back to Kikuchi a week later.
Sure, that might be true, but why not? I don't know. I guess I don't see the harm in giving him a shot. But hey, regardless, hitting really wasn't a huge issue in this game.
They weren't fantastic, but they weren't like the reason they lost.
I mean, everybody who started aside from Danny Jansen got a hit.
Danny's in a huge slump. Huge slump. I mean, they were fine enough offensively. Biggio homered. It really did feel like when Biggio homered, like there was a chance to get back into it. And then when the back-to-back homers to Santander and then obviously Mountcastle happened, that it really took their wind out of their sails. The offense was whatever. I mean, Chapman's still hot. He hit a homer, so that's cool. Vlad kept the hit streak going, but he didn't have, like, an awesome game. He just went 1-for-5 with a single. Kirk had been, like, mini-slumping, so I guess good that he had two hits. The offense was okay. I mean, they did make Jordan Lyles look, like, pretty good. Jordan Lyles isn't.
He's fine.
He's not terrible.
He's terrible? Oh, okay.
No, so he's not terrible, though. Like, it's not. They've made worse pitchers look fine than Jordan Lyles, I can tell you that.
He's actually been, like, fine this year. I mean, he hasn't been great. He does lead the AL in hits allowed, but he's fine.
I think that's all we got on that game.
It was a stinky game, man.
Yeah, it's a bad way to start the series. It's a good thing that after Kikuchi comes Manoah, and we'll see how he does. But before that, I got to tell you about what's going on at Built Bar. If you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. The cookie dough chunk puffs with a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You are going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout or a late night treat or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15 off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15.
And we back, people, for another edition of He Was a Blue Jay. Ben struggling on the year. But hey, I got faith in him, and so does the audience. I believe you're 3-6 on the season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 3-6. Hey, that's a record you could pull back, Ben.
I won't, but
me
I can.
And everybody. Listen, today you've got two that I think are both gettable. One of them is either like you're going to get it instantly, or I believe you'll get it by the fifth hint. And the other one, one of them, that's one of them. And the other one, I took a very unorthodox way of hinting, because if I went the regular way, it would have been too easy. So I give you decent hints. Are you ready?
I am ready.
If you haven't seen the game before, I pick a guy who was a fringe Blue Jay, maybe like one or two seasons with the team. I give Ben five hints to try and guess who he is, and Ben gets three guesses per hint, or 30-ish seconds, but we're lenient. All right, let's do it. Here we go. This catcher won a World Series and two Gold Gloves in his career.
Wow. This catcher won a World Series and two Gold Gloves in his career. So this guy was pretty good. Buck Martinez.
Ain't Buck.
Thought he might have won one with KC. Catcher won a World Series and two goals. Rod Barajas.
Not Rod Barajas.
I believe he did win a World
Series. Good guess, though. He won the 2001 World Series.
Yeah. This catcher won a World Series and two Gold Gloves. You're not going to give me another Molina. That would be too outrageous, I think. I don't even remember which one I guessed correctly last time.
You guessed Jose Molina correctly.
Okay. Benji Molina.
That's correct. It's Benji Molina. He gets it on a one-guesser. A one-guesser. Some people said it would never be done. It's Benji Molina. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? I can't get duped. I can't get duped.
He did it. Wow. All right. I'm going to run through the other guesses because we've got a kill time.
Is his World Series the 2010 World Series?
Nope. 2002, where he was teammates with his brother, Jose.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought maybe I'm mixing up Benji for someone else. I thought in 2010, Benji was on the Giants and got traded to the Rangers.
Correct.
And played his own former team in correct. The World Series.
That did so happen. That's one of my hints.
He is lost. Technically a 2010 World Series. Like, he has a ring.
Okay, like technically, but like he didn't contribute to the series. Okay, so the other hints were, he shares a name with a dog voiced by Chevy Chase in a 70s movie, Benji, 1974 film. In the last season of his career, he was traded. Both the teams he played for that season were in the World Series. His team lost. I was hoping you'd remember that. I'm glad you did, because he also said, I remember right at the beginning of that series, Benji to the media was like, oh, like, we've got this in the back. I know exactly how their pitchers pitch. Like, this is going to be cash. And then they lost. And then in the last season of his career, oh no, that's the one I just said. Then I was going to give you the time he played in the fourth hint. He played from 1998 to 2010. And the last hint is him and his brother were teammates. In fact, both catchers on the same World Series team. So good for you, man. A one hinter. That's the first time that's ever been done.
Yeah. If nothing else, you're the guy with the big record. But hey, I'm the hit or miss guy. You know,
that's freaking awesome.
I can get it in one or not at all.
That's awesome.
All right, let's keep rolling. You had two ready.
Although this one you might have quick too, and then we're in deep trouble. Then we're in deep trouble. All right.
Jordan.
I almost said his name. I almost do that literally every time. Okay, here we go. This right-handed hitting infielder debuted for the Blue Jays in 1979.
Whoa. Garth York.
Not Garth. I thought about putting Garth.
I know you did. Right-handed hitting infielder debuted for the Blue Jays. Rance Molnix.
Who's that? That's absurd.
1979 infielder. Who would stick around? Who would be there? Alfredo Griffin?
Not Alfredo Griffin. Let me move on. His baseball career concluded after three seasons, but maybe not for the reason you think.
Danny Ainge, final answer. I had to think about it for 1 second, and then
Well, correct. Now your record's 5-6. You're real close to that 500 record.
Yeah, it's a good day.
And now we're gonna do something that has never happened before in He Was a Blue Jay history.
We can just move on in our episode if you want.
Nope. We have to finish this out. What we're going to do is I'm going to freestyle this guy right off the cuff. I'm going to freestyle him.
I don't know if this hurts or helps me. We'll see what happens.
I don't know either, but we're going to find out. This left-handed pitcher debuted in 2005.
Left-handed pitcher debuted in 2005. So like a good lefty starter that was on this. It's just, yeah, it's not that guy. I don't know. Brett Cecil, Aaron Loop, obviously not them, but I'm just throwing guesses out to get to the next hint.
Okay.
Next hint.
He's a one-time All-Star and a one-time World Series champ.
Okay. A one-time World Series champ. So who could he have been on that would allow him? I almost said Mark Burley, but he's obviously more than a one-time All-Star. Left-hander who won a World Series. Won a World Series. Could easily be out of the pen, but I'm not having an awesome time remembering our lefty pen guys, so let's think starter. Let's think one-time World Series teams after 2005. Let's move on.
Okay. In the season he won his World Series, he was traded by the Blue Jays to the World Series winning team at the deadline.
We traded a guy into a World Series. What lefty star? Francisco Liriano.
Francisco Liriano's correct.
Let's go.
Oh my gosh, you're on a heater today.
That's one of the most lopsided trades in recent baseball history.
Kind of nuts, dude.
Francisco Liriano, one for one for Teoscar Hernandez.
Nori Aoki.
Yeah, I know they won the World Series, but Liriano had like a 4 ERA in half a season for them.
Yeah, he was awful.
We got Teoscar Hernandez.
It was Liriano was a part of a couple interesting trades. Like he was traded by the Giants with Boof Bonzer and Joe Nathan to the Twins for AJ Pierzynski.
That is a really weird trade.
Pierzynski played one season in San Francisco before going to Chicago.
That's a really weird trade.
I didn't even know he played there. That's kind of nuts. Sampling? Well,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was a crazy edition of He Was a Blue Jay, where Ben strikes back in the best way. And I'm happy about it because you didn't have any faith going in.
I had none.
And you did it.
I will say, too, while my record is still far worse than yours, while setting the record for guessing like in the least hints, I also tied your record of the one frustrating day early in the pod, where you had three correct answers on me. That was when I still hadn't gotten you out yet. and you had a three-hit day. So now I've tied your three-hit day.
You set the record for earliest win.
Yeah.
You got it on a one-hitter. This catcher won a World Series and two gold gloves. And you were like, Benji Molina? Duh.
I really wanted it to be Buck. But when it wasn't Buck, I had a good idea.
All right. Well, I've got an ad for you. If you want to bet on Ben next time, maybe you should now. You can't do it at betonline.net, which is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Predicting the Month.
I can't believe we're doing this again.
I mean, it's only right. We predicted June. We predicted July. So now it's time to predict August. I'd also like to point out that we have never once done it at the beginning of the month. We always do it around the 10th.
About
10th. I mean, it's every single time.
Yeah, I don't. I think we predicted like part of May and part of June.
We didn't do July?
I think we predicted – no, sorry, like our first – I don't remember when our second one was, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
But our first one – I can look. Because they went on the win streak. Like, we were predicting more May than June because the win streak was started by the Angels series, which was late May. We haven't I want to be honest with the people. We haven't done it every month. Because when we did it in May, June, like part of May, part of June, we nailed it. We said they were going to go 13-7 in their next 20 games, and they went 13-7 in their next 20 because they won 8 in a row.
Yeah, it was May. So we did May and June. Hey, we took a month off in July, all right? We can't predict every month. That would be insane.
We were incorrect in July or in June because we tried to predict 13-7 again. Which we probably should have changed when we realized
it. We don't do it. Like, we don't say, like, all right, 13-7. We do all the games, then we realize what we picked, and we were like, we did the same one. So maybe this will be different. But are you ready to go?
We do it series by series. We're going to start after the Orioles series, correct?
Yes. So we will start with the next series on the docket, which is the Guardians series, where the Jays host the Guardians.
If we go from the Guardians series to the end of August, that's 19 games. So it's almost our 20-game sample we're looking for.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, here we go. It's a 3-game set with the Guardians at home, a Friday to Sunday series, which is always exciting. The Guardians are kind of good.
The Guardians are kind of good. I think they can take 2 out of 3 from the Guardians at home. But the Guardians are a legitimate baseball team. They can pitch. We already have the starters lined up, so I wonder how this affects how you want to do it. The starters for the Guardians are Cal Quantrill, Tristan McKenzie, and Shane Bieber.
I see. I'm saying that it's Guardians. The Guardians are taking 2 or 3 here. That's what
you
I'm saying.
So?
Dude, they can pitch. And Yusei is pitching that series.
He is. And we have Yusei and Mitch White lined up.
They're losing two games.
Win this Orioles series.
They're losing two games there. They are. It's just objectively going to happen.
All right, I'll let you do that. All right. So
I think it's important that we have a joint list so we don't have two random records thrown out there.
Yeah, no, we are. I am allowing. Sometimes I will reluctantly compromise, but I am still wholeheartedly compromising.
Okay. Then they take the Orioles at home. I'm thinking of this Orioles series as a revenge series. I don't know what's going to happen in these next two games, but I am feeling that they're going to need some revenge. And what better place to do it than the Rogers Center? I think they take at least two. Sweep? Okay, I'm happy saying sweep.
Because they have to beat them at some point. You know, like they can't just not beat them all the time. So that's 4 wins. I'm just counting wins and then I'll have the record. That's 4 wins.
Okay. And then you get a 4-game set at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, that's
which, like, I have no idea how that's going to go.
So the Yankees aren't playing well. Like, let's be honest.
No, they're playing terribly. They're
playing terribly.
They're
awful. The
Blue
Jays have jumped back within 10
games. And they just lost Matt Carpenter.
He's injured?
He fractured his foot. He's out till like, the end of the year.
Ooh. Is Stanton back?
Stan's not back, but he might be by then.
Yeah, he probably would be. Kikuchi is pitching that series, too.
I kind of want to say split, but like that's kind of the cop-out answer.
No, that's where I was leaning. I do think it's a little optimistic by us because the Yankees have dominated the Blue Jays this year in head-to-head. But I kind of agree with you. I think split's possible.
And on that Friday, it's John Sterling and Susan Waldman bobblehead night. So you know the fans are going to be rabid that night.
I think the baseball gods will help us out that night. all right. Let's do a split. So, okay. 6 wins up to that point.
All right. Red then Sox, you go to Fenway.
Red Sox stink.
And the Red Sox are bad. You go to Fenway and you romp the Sox. I'm going to say 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think 2 out of 3 is fair. The Blue Jays have beat the Red Sox in every series they've played so far this year. I believe this is the final one. No, there's one more after. But it would be awesome to beat a team in every series you played it in this year, you know, like every single one. So, yeah, cool. I have 2 out of 3. That brings the Blue Jays up to 8 wins. And 2 more teams that stink to end off this stretch.
Yeah, then they have a huge homestand, a 6-game homestand. Angels come to town. Again, like you say, a team that does indeed stink. And I mean, they're what?
Probably won't have Trout either.
Is he hurt?
Yeah. Back thing. Oh. You know, the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say it's a sweep. I'm going to say it.
I'm going to say it's a sweep, too. Just terrible. Absolutely demoralized them last time we played. Like, the Blue Jays tanked the Angels' season. They were 11 games above 500 when the Blue
this
Jays...
This is probably a revenge series for them, but they don't have the muscle to actually perform it.
They traded for Boniac, and then he broke his finger the next day.
That's terrible. Like,
it's just that kind of year for them, you know? He like scored a run and that in his debut, and then the next day he was hurt. And they've traded away Syndergaard and some guys. So
yeah, they sold. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Phil Nevin's 20-34 is their head man. I mean, it's just
honestly, that's better than I thought.
I still think it's really sad that when they went to fire Joe Maddon at his house, they opened up the door and he had shaved a mohawk into his head to try and inspire the guys. And they were like, Joe, what are you doing?
You're not bringing this mohawk to our ballpark.
I think they should have let him. I bet you they're better right now if they keep Joe Maddon. Well, that's my take.
He had to clean his desk out and stuff. So he went back.
They're like, just put a hat on that thing.
I don't like to make fun of people getting fired, but it is a hilarious situation with the mohawk.
I feel terrible about it. It's actually so sad because I actually like Joe Maddon, but he's gone.
Now former Yankees coach Phil Nevin is managing instead.
Former Yankees third base coach, yeah. And former Yankees other third base coach is coaching the Phillies, and they're doing well.
We got Canadian Baseball Hall of Famer Rob Thompson. We got one more.
All right.
It's the Cubs.
The Cubs, 2 games. I don't feel comfortable saying they win 6 in a row.
Yeah, that's probably fair. The Cubs have been like, they've been terrible, but like a little pesky at times too. Because they still have guys. They kept
Seiya Suzuki is a god.
They kept Hap. So like, you know, they'll take a game from a San Fran. They swept Philly at one point in August. Like, just beat Miami in a series. So they have a little fight in them. So, yeah, I'm cool with that. That puts us at 13 wins, which is not a 13-7 prediction. It's a 13-6 prediction.
No way we did.
Again, we do not plan this, but this is our third win total in a row where we have picked 13. We generally pick them to win series 2 out of 3. That's basically what we've learned from this.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we'll revisit this at the end of August, see how we did. But until then, we bid you adieu. Thanks for making Lockdown Blue Jays your first listen today. Go make your second listen to Lockdown MLB Podcast. Paul Francis Sullivan, he's that dude. He's going to bring you humor, passion, and a unique perspective on your team and every team. The biggest stories around the league. He's the number one daily league-wide podcast that's Locked On MLB on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Ben and I back tomorrow to recap the next game in this series and play more stupid games. We will see you then.